All right, good morning.
Good morning.
You guys ready to get in the Word?
Yes.
Yes. You guys ready to get in the Word of God?
Yes.
All right, Nehemiah chapter 4. And I want to tell you, remember how to get to Nehemiah? You open up the Bible in the middle, and you just go to the left a few pages, and you're going to run right into it. But some of you got your iPhone machines, however you want to get there is cool. Hey, let's pray, and we're going to get into this. Father, I pray that you open up our eyes and our ears and speak to us today. Give us a word. We need to hear from you today, Lord. We love you. We thank you. I'm grateful to you, God. You're amazing and mighty, and we just love you and are so blessed by you, God. Thank you for all that you've done for us. Thank you for forgiving us of our sins. Thank you for leading us through the darkest of valleys, God. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Nehemiah chapter 4. Vicki and I was cleaning the church this Friday, and a lady had come into the church, and it was kind of funny because she didn't know what we were. And so when she came in here, she goes, "This is a flippin' bleep, a bleep, a bleep, a bleep, awesome bleep, a bleep, a bleep, amazing bleep, a bleep," like she's coming up for air, right? And in my head, I'm thinking, man, this is going to get awkward as soon as she asks us what we do here. And I'm thinking, Jesus is on the front. I mean, you can't see that this isn't church, but she didn't know, and she just kept going off and off and off. And then comes the question after she was doing all that, and she goes, "Hey, by the way, what is this place?" And I said, "Well, it's funny that you ask. My name is Jason, and I'm a pastor of Ark Bible Church, and this is Ark Bible Church." And when I told her it was a church, after she just got done dropping every bomb, like in the book, you should have seen her face. It was that kind of face where it was like, "Oh man, how do I kind of get all of that stuff back? Because now this is so awkward." I said, "Hey, you know what? Come on in here and check this place out. I'm going to show you around." And I showed her everything in here and told her what we were doing, and I said, "But you know what? We're only in the middle of the phase of rebuilding." And I started thinking about how with us in our church, what's going on is the middle can be a scary place. The middle can be a messy place. Because once you start building something and once you get going, that's the middle is where you can have a tendency to want to stop because you work on momentum. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? Whenever anything's new, like it's just like, "Man, I'm on it. I'm not going to sleep. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to make this happen." But then as you get through the middle, what happens is it gets messy. Do you know what I'm talking about? Everybody deals with the messy of the middleness. You know, when you guys are getting married, everybody's stoked to get married. No, I don't know of anybody that's ever been married and they're like, this is gonna suck. Like, this is gonna be horrible. Like, when they say, "Does anybody object?" It's not like you're like, kinda, I don't know. You're getting married. But it's in the middle of that season where there can be a mess. You know, you guys are starting some of your careers and you're glad you got a career, you got a destination, you know where you're going, but you got schooling and you got commitments and you got all of this stuff that you got to get through. And sometimes that can get messy in the middle. We're all in a place where we're in a middle season. And if we're not careful, if we don't get through the middle, we'll miss a miracle. And in Nehemiah chapter 4, what happens is I want to talk to you on this subject of getting through the middle. You're right on time, my friend. He's like, the subject this morning is going to be getting through the middle. Say it with me, getting through the middle. Getting through the middle. So in Nehemiah chapter 4, Nehemiah is in that season where he's rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem that was torn down in battle by the Babylonians. Now, if you guys haven't been here, check us out online and go back over those messages. But the enemy has torn down the walls of Jerusalem because they want to get in and take control. And if there's no walls and if there's no guarding around a city or even your life, if faith is torn down, hope is torn down, trust is torn down, the enemy can come in like that. That's his goal. He wants to get into you by getting through your walls. And so Nehemiah gets the privilege of going back to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls. But he's got to get through this middle process. When we look at this in chapter 4, the wall is halfway built up. But they got to finish. How many of you guys know we got to finish this church? You're not happy yet, are you?
No.
Okay, good. Thank you, Jesus. Because we got to get through the mess of the middle. And so Nehemiah, this is what he does when the middle gets messy, because the middle will always get messy. In your life, it's that period of where you are and where God wants you to be. That section right in there, at times, is going to get really ugly. And if you're not careful, you'll miss the miracle because of the mess in the middle. So this is what Nehemiah does. If you're taking notes, check this out. He prays and he keeps pushing. In verse 1 it says, "But it so happened when Sanballat had heard that we were rebuilding the wall that he was furious and very indignant. And the Jews and them mocked the Jews. And he spoke before the brethren of the army of Samaria, and he said, 'What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves, and will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete the wall in a day?'" And by the way, this has nothing to do with Trump. Right? I'm just saying, look, I don't know if someone's not coming to church today because they think this is a let's build the wall message, but this is on a whole nother level, okay? And so they were coming against him about building the wall, and it says, "Will they complete it in a day? Will they revive the stones from the heaps of rubbish, the stones that are burnt?" Now Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, "Whatever they build, even a fox that will go up on it and jump it and will break it down, the stone wall." So what Nehemiah does is, you know, anytime there's progression, you're always going to have some resistance. And so Nehemiah is there building, and Sanballat and Tobiah show up, and they start talking trash. "You guys are going to..." And it's stupid stuff. Tobiah's saying even a fox will climb up on the wall and tear it down. Like, that's stupid. Like, don't you know Urban Dictionary? I mean, if you're ever going to tear somebody up, maybe some of your mama jokes, I don't know. But a wall, this thing getting torn down by the fox, that's like horrible. But he's trying to get into their head, and they're trash talking the workers as they're building and as they're progressing, because anytime you progress, there's going to be resistance. The devil doesn't care as long as you stay content with where you are. As soon as you got plans, as soon as you got a direction, as soon as you got a destination, that's when the enemy comes in and he pushes against you. Did you guys realize that yet? You know, the best way not to get any resistance is to do absolutely nothing. You want to play it safe, you want to go under the radar, I'll tell you how to do it. Just don't do anything. But as soon as you start stepping out on faith, that's when the enemy starts stepping in with the fight. But pushing forward in the Lord, we're going to have some pushback in the middle from our enemy, with ridicule and mockery. For some of us, it's like, "Man, I'm going to work on my marriage." And then the devil's like, "You're going to work on it now? You guys have been married for over 15 years, and now you're going to start working on your marriage? You think you're going to lead your kids in Christ after they know everything you've done and said? And you're going to be an example to them? You think that you're going to pull it together after all that you've been..." And the enemy, what he'll do is he'll get in our head, like he's trying to get into their head here. And here's why. Because the greatest weapon in your enemy's hand is in your mind when you're discouraged. That is the greatest weapon in your enemy's hand. It's going to be in your mind when you're discouraged. Because if he can get you to be discouraged, he can get you to quit. But there's some truth to what he says too. And this bothers me, because when I was looking at that, I was like, man, the truth about it is these guys are feeble, right? How many of you guys know these guys are not, they're not strong people, they're Jews. Have you ever seen Jews? They're kind of like small people, and they don't have a lot of strength, and they don't have a lot, and they are feeble, and they are in over their head. But you know what? Check this out. I find that when the enemy comes and he starts reminding us of those truths that we have, that are with us, we can boast in our brokenness. Did you know that? Paul said it. Paul said, "Hey, when I'm weak, you better look out, because I'm strong." Did you know what the word Sanballat means? It means thorn. How interesting. Thorn. Paul had a thorn. And so Nehemiah's got a thorn. You have a thorn. You got something in you that you've been praying for that God would take away. You've been praying that God would change. You've been praying that God would fix. You've been praying that God would do something. But the reality of it is the more that you pray, the more that that thing stays. But it's there for a purpose, and it's that we can be blessed and boast in our brokenness. Why? Because when we are weak, He is what? You want to see the strength of the Lord in your life? Step out on some stuff that you can't do and watch what God can do.
Yeah.
You know, people say God will never put you in or give you more than you can handle. Burn that. Burn that shirt. You got that t-shirt? Is that your little bumper sticker? God will never put me through more than I can handle. He'll always provide. It'll be great. But you know what? You need to just throw that thing in the trash can, because over and over again, what we see with God is that He constantly puts His kids in a place they can't fix, a problem they can't solve, and some people they just can't deal with. But you know who's strong? The Lord. Paul said, I will boast in my brokenness, in my weakness. And so Nehemiah, Tobiah, and Sanballat are coming against Nehemiah. And there's some things that are going on that I'm sure Nehemiah wouldn't have chose. And by the way, when I look at our ministry, I think there's a lot of things in this ministry that over the period of years that we've been doing this, there's a lot of things I wouldn't have chosen. But there's nothing I could say I would change. Because it's been in those times where God has corrected me, encouraged me, loved me, strengthened me, taught me. But had those things not happened, and had those things not happened that are going on in your life that you're wanting to go away, you'd never know God in the way that He wants you to know Him. That He's strong when we're not. And that He's capable when we're incapable. And so Nehemiah, he prays. Check out verse 4. It's a little rough, by the way. This isn't a prayer that you might have seen Jesus do, but it's a prayer nonetheless. Look what he says in verse 4. Hear, O God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach on their own heads, and give them as plunder to the land of captivity. And do not cover their iniquity, and do not let their sin be blotted out from before you, for they have provoked you to anger before the builders. Now, when you get to this, when you look at Nehemiah's prayer and what he's saying here is basically, God, may these people burn and rot in hell. Now look, that cracks me up, because some of you are sitting there like Christians, like you just pray for people in a way that's holy and blessings on your enemy. You know, God says, pray for those who persecute you. And so in your heart, you know, I mean, is that prayer even legal? Like, where's the prayer ref? Like, burn in hell, rot, just turn your back on these guys. There's no time out here. And we know that when we listen to this prayer, there's some of it that we're just like, man, I don't know if that's right. But you know in your heart that you prayed like that. And if you haven't prayed like that, you better believe that you felt like that before. Don't sit here and stare at me up here. If someone has hurt you, you know what happens with hurt people? They what?
Hurt.
That's right. Hurt people hurt. And so I don't care how holy you are. I know you've been walking with God a long time. But I guarantee you, when you get hurt, when you get scared, when you get mad, when you get insulted, when you get degraded, when someone gets in your face, you know what? There's this tendency. We're all, oh God, help me. Oh God, help me, right? But in our heart, we really want God to hurt them. Go after them. Get them, Lord. And so I look at that and I thought, you know, at least his prayer is real. I wonder if you guys come to God like that. I wonder if you guys come to God how you really feel or how you think he wants you to act. He comes to God real. And I appreciate that, because this is what he's doing. He's taking the fight to God, and he's telling God to fight on his behalf. So look, say what you want about this man. Maybe he doesn't pray like you want him to pray, but at least he doesn't get in their face, but he takes it to the King of Kings. See, we get people that, I'm not on Facebook, thank you Jesus, been freed from it, sorta. And we get people that will write in, and Erica does all of our Facebook, and we'll get people that write in, and they'll say stuff to me like, they think they're sending it to me. They're sending it to the church, but Erica gets it, and Erica sends me a text whenever something gets weird. And so she sent me a text, and there was a text, and we get these. We get these every now and again. And this is how it goes. This is how I think they sound. Your parishioners, one of your members, said something bad to me. And I want you to know. And my first thought is, so? I'm just telling you straight up. That's my first thought. Because we're a church, not a cult. If we were a cult, you guys would be leaving here all acting the same way. But the truth of it is that we are individuals. And so when we hurt, sometimes we want to hurt. When we get upset, sometimes we do stupid stuff. And sometimes we don't always act like God wants us to act or behave. And so the thing about this is, thank God for this, that though his prayer was not polished, he got it in the right place. He didn't get in their face. He didn't post on Facebook about every trashy thing that he knew about these people. He wasn't talking behind their back. He wasn't setting them up for failure. You know what he did? He says, God, I want you to take care of this. And yes, it was ugly, but at least it was in the right place. Now, can I show you something cool? No, you don't want to see this. Do you?
I do.
You guys want to see something cool?
Yeah.
Do you want to know something cool about your God?
Bring it.
Okay, check this out. I'm going to give it just for Janet. When Nehemiah was praying against his enemies, hey, do you got any enemies or have you had any? Okay, so everybody likes you. Everybody loves you guys. Nobody's got a problem with these people right here. Nobody. Except for everybody up there, they got a problem with. Now you got a problem. So what happened was, is Nehemiah was praying against his enemy, but God didn't answer his prayer, did he? No, he didn't. God didn't strike them dead, throw them in hell, and put them in captivity in a land of plunder. But you know what God did do? Instead of dealing with the enemy, he blessed Nehemiah. So what I want to tell you is that God may not do anything to your enemy, but he'll bless you in front of them. And that's how God will get them back. And I love that. He might not answer the prayer to where he does something to them, but he'll bless you in front of them. And I will promise you this, there is no other kind of revenge like God's revenge when he blesses you in the presence of your enemy. And I'll tell you, I've got people in here I know where they have come against their business, tried to shut it down, didn't care if you had money for bread, clothes, food, or water, and you might have been praying, God, I pray that you just kill this person. They're costing me millions of dollars. And instead of God dealing with them, he blessed you. And hey, you know what I'm talking about. God is a good God like that. Thank you, Jesus. So Nehemiah, he's not really polished like some of us are, but he gets his prayer in the right place. And I want to tell you that that's what we got to do. We got to keep pushing, though. We got to keep praying. And this is the next thing we got to do when we're in the middle. First of all, we got to pray and push. And what that push means is we've got to work. We've got to work. We've got to work. Say it with me, work.
Work.
That's an ugly word in church, isn't it? But I pray to God, brush my teeth. And you know what? It's like, you know who's brushing my teeth? Vicky, every morning, she prayed, God, go to work. God, go to work. Guess who's going to work? Vicky. God, clean this house. You know who's cleaning the house? No. I know how to use the vacuum. So, but when I'm praying, God, brush my teeth, go to work, clean my house. Guess who's brushing my teeth, going to work, and cleaning my house? I'm cleaning my house. I'm going to work, and I'm brushing my own teeth. And here's why. Because God's not going to do for you what you can do for your own self. And there's a lot of people sitting back and they're waiting and they're praying. That's great. I'm about that. You know, we want to pray before we proceed, but at some point you're going to have to do something. So what happens? This is what Nehemiah does. He's praying and he's pushing. He keeps moving forward. Check out verse 6. Now they get busy. So we built the wall. The entire wall was joined together up to half its height. So it's in the middle, right? For the people had a mind to work and to get busy. They got a mind to get to work and to get busy. So look, when it comes to us and we're in the messiness of the middle, you've got to keep working, not spiritualizing. You know, the I'm waiting for the manager position, but they don't put in no applications, right? I'm waiting. I want my kids to be raised up in the Lord. I'm just waiting on God to do a work in my kids, but then they let them stay in front of a TV for 15 hours a day. Let me tell you something about it. It takes work. It takes work. And that means you do have to get busy at times. And push forward. Instead of spiritualizing all this stuff all the time, I'm waiting on God, I'm just waiting on God. One of these days, this is, you know, the way it's going to happen is by you getting up and making it happen through prayer and proceeding, by prayer and pushing, by prayer and persevering, by prayer and keep going. Don't just sit there. Just don't sit there. You remember, that thing about Moses always just comes to my mind when I teach on this. When Moses was backed in and he didn't know what to do, and he cried out to God, and he's like, what am I going to do? I got all these people right here. And you know what God says? He says, why are you crying out to me? I'd been like, well, because, you know, you're God. He said, get that thing up in your hand and raise it and divide the water and go through. Do something. So when we're in the messiness of the middle, listen, don't be content with where you're at. Pray, pray, and keep pushing. So Nehemiah, he prays and he keeps going. And so we need to be prayerful. But check this out in verse 7. Be watchful. I'm talking about you quitting in the mess of your middle. You got to pray and be watchful. In verse 7, it says, now it happened when Sanballat and Tobiah, the Arabs, and the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored and the gaps were being closed, that they became very angry at all of them. Why? Because as long as you do nothing, nobody's going to have a problem with you. As soon as you start stepping out in faith, there's going to be people around you, naysayers. You can't do this. You don't have enough money to do that. You don't know what you're doing. So just stay at home and watch like Jerry Springer, right? Just do that. But these guys are going and they're stepping out, and it says that they're getting pushback, but they had become very angry, and all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. Nevertheless, say that word with me. That's such a good word. It's like a contrast. Nevertheless, you're in my face. Nevertheless, this isn't going to work. Nevertheless, you're never going to reach the community. Nevertheless, but then it says, now, nevertheless, we made our prayer to our God, and because of them, we set a watch against them day and night. We set a watch day and night. So they're prayerful and they're watchful. So Nehemiah, they're surrounded. You can't really see this in the text, but they're surrounded from the north, the east, the south, and the west by all these people that normally wouldn't have nothing to do with each other. They were all kind of enemies. But then they were coming together because they had a commonality, hatred for the Jews. How many of you guys know that sometimes people ain't got nothing to do with each other will come together just to talk about you? Right? I mean, these people ain't got nothing to do with each other, but as soon as you come up on their radar, oh, now they're all friends. And so now Nehemiah's engulfed with all of these enemies, and as he's there, he prays, and it says that he sets a watch. And we've got to be watchful because we've got an enemy that will creep up in the middle of the messiness. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 26, verse 39, do you guys remember when he told his disciples? He said, watch and pray. And then Paul said when we're fighting against spiritual forces, and he said in Ephesians 6:18, he said, pray and be alert. Have you ever been sucker punched? You guys know what that is? Sucker punch is when you're looking one way, boom, and you get whacked the other. I was coming back from a Dodger game with my friend in the back of his parents' pickup truck. It was, I don't know, I was like 12 years old. And in the back of the pickup truck, we used to do this stupid stuff where we'd just stand up. Did you guys ever do that in the back of the pickup truck? You get in the back of your friend's pickup truck, you guys would be just hanging onto the hood or walking around. And his parents would say, Jason, sit down. And my friend would get up, and so I would get up, and they're like, sit down, sit down. I'm telling you, sit down. And we wouldn't listen, and so we're driving, and we're on our way back home, and he pulls into his parking spot at the apartment complex, and it had a low overhead ceiling. And I was standing up, and I was doing some stupid stuff, and his dad knew I was standing up, and he just kept driving right into this thing, and it hit me right in my head and knocked me straight to the floor of that pickup truck. And when I got hit like that, the first thing I did, because I wasn't watching, I was being stupid, and I hit the deck, and I got up, and I looked at my friend, I said, did you hit me? Because I didn't know. I had just got whacked, and I didn't know from which way that I took the hit. And I'm like, did you hit me? He's like, no, man, my dad told you to sit down, and you wouldn't stop farting off, and now look what happened. And boom, I go down, I start looking around. And I started thinking about the way that the devil works in our lives. That if you're not watching, you will get hit and not know from which way it came. So I guess what I'm saying is you're going to blame your wife for something the devil is trying to create. You're going to look at your kids like they're coming against you. You're going to look at some family members. You're going to look at friends who care about you and who love you, and you're going to be like, you know what? You're against me. This is, and you're not going to know from where you're getting the hit. And if you don't know where you're getting the hit, then you're going to be blaming the people for hitting you that love you. And so we've got to be prayerful and watchful and know that we're not fighting against flesh and blood. And the weapons that we have are not carnal weapons. And we've got to be making sure what's going on around us, because if we're not watching where the attack comes from, then we're going to be blaming people that actually love us and pray for us. I know that Vicky and I, sometimes when we have discussions, and sometimes it can get heavy. She'll pray because she knows. I wish I could say I'm the guy saying, oh man. Vicky will say, this is of the devil. This is not right. And then when I start hearing her pray that, I'm like, oh snap, I'm getting used right now. I'm getting used. I'm getting played right now. And so you want to know that, hey, listen, your wife loves you. She didn't marry you because she hated you. And the people that are close to you, they do care about you. Your mom wants to help you. But you're going to get it mixed up if you're not watching from where the hits come from. God has put people in your life right now to help you. And there's times where you're looking at the people God put in your life for help, and they're like, you're hurt. You're in a battle. So what he says is, he gets busy. He says, I prayed and I put a watch. And then they come to him in verse 10. Check this out. They come in verse 10, and Nehemiah tells them next, get your focus straight, guys. Because now that the enemy comes in and they're stirring all this stuff up, they start freaking out, and their mind starts going in all these different directions, and they're not getting focused on what needs to be focused on number one. And check out what that is. In verse 10, this is what it says. It says that Judah said, the strength of the laborers is failing, and there is so much rubble that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversary said, they will neither know nor see anything until we come into their midst and kill them and cause the work to cease. Hey, let me ask you something. I'm just going to pause right there. I'm going to get back to it, I promise. I wanted to ask you something. What do you do when you work your guts out And not only does it seem like it's not working, but you know any energy you got left, if you use that, it's just going to get opposed. Have you ever been there? Where you have seriously, like, I mean, we're just talking, we're going to be done in a second. But have you ever done something so meaningful in your life that you had so much resistance and it exhausted you? And then you knew anything I do above and beyond this, it's just going to get pushed back. You know, blended families are like this. When someone gets married and it's not their dad and they're just like, you know, and he's trying to be a dad and he's trying to do the right thing and no, I don't want nothing to do with that. And you work and you push and you try and anything you do is just going to get pushed back and resisted and your efforts just get wasted. This is what Nehemiah does. He says, listen, when they're coming in and their strength is gone, and then they said, if you try to do anything, we're going to fight against it. And so Nehemiah says that, so in verse 12, it was when the Jews dwelt near them came, and they told us 10 times, from whatever place you turn, they will come upon us. And so therefore I positioned men behind the lower parts of the wall at the beginning and set the people according to their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and arose and I saw to the nobles, to the leaders, and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Highlight this in your Bible. Remember the Lord. Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren and your sons and your daughters and your wives and your houses. So these people are coming, they're just resisting them, pushing against them, and now they're tired and they're spent and they're in the middle. And then it says that the people around them who should be encouraging them came to them 10 times. Man, if you got friends like this, you just better go live alone somewhere. Go move into a cave. These people that are supposed to hang out with them and encourage them, come to them 10 times. You're going to get killed. They're going to oppose you. They're going to wreck your family. You're going to get killed. You're going to fail. You're going to get killed? You're going to fail. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. 10 times. It's like, good Lord, I got it the first time when you said that I'm dead. Okay? I got it. 10 times. And the reason why this was going on is because, listen, whatever you put on repeat becomes a reality. If you wake up in the morning from the fight you had last night and you're like, here we go, round two, you know what you're going to get in the morning? Round two. When you wake up and you say, today I got to go to work and it's going to suck. I'm there by myself. I'm underappreciated. I'm underpaid. I'm wasting my time. This is stupid. No one ever. Guess what? You know how your day's going to go? It's going to be amazing. It's going to suck. It's going to be the most horrible thing you're ever going to go to that you call a job, that you call a dream or a vision. It's going to be all messed up. When you walk around and you say, I'm just a glorified maid, picking up after everybody, cleaning up after everybody, taking care of the house, nobody ever preached. Guess what you're going to be? That's the way you're going to see yourself. And then you're going to get passive aggressive anytime you do anything. You'll do it and mess it up on purpose because you're mad. Whatever you put on repeat becomes a reality. That's why Nehemiah says you got to fix your focus. You got to get your focus straight on what's going on. So he tells the guys, you know what he tells them? He says, remember who? Remember the Lord. Remember the Lord. That's why we want to highlight that. We want to remember the Lord in everything that we're doing. And so Nehemiah, he tells the guys to get their focus straight, because in verse 14, when this is all going on, he says, I looked and I rose, and he told the nobles and the rest of the people, don't be afraid of them. Remember God. Remember God. Why? Because when things are not going good, that's when you forget God. I'm just talking to like one person in here today. when it's not going good, you forget God. When you get a phone call and it's your kid again at school, at work, you get a phone call at work. When you're battling something in your body, you know, when you're going through a difficult season and it's not going good, we have a tendency to forget God. And see, God is the one who can change it. God is the one who gets involved in it. God is the one who's sovereign and he's working in it. And so Nehemiah knew that when he's telling him, he's like, look, I know that you maybe can't depend upon your situation, what you're going through, but what you can do is you can remember God, because the answer of fear is always going to be setting our hearts and our minds and our thoughts on the promises of God. So if you're here this morning and you are going through a season and maybe you're worried about something and it's bothering you and it's tearing you up, it's because your focus is on the wrong place. You're focusing on a fight instead of your God and faith. And there is a huge difference between the two of them on how you live and act and react. See, that's why the enemy wants to get up in here and get that on repeat. Because it becomes a reality. But it becomes a reality either way. So Nehemiah tells him, get your focus straight. It's kind of like that song. You guys heard of that song, Oceans by Hillsong? Everybody's heard that song. It's only been played like a gazillion times. And they say, you never fail and you won't start now. Thank you, Jesus. You know, Jesus said, peace I leave you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives. Let not your hearts be troubled and let them not be afraid. Thank you, God. Can I tell you right now, you may not know this, but when you get your focus on Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I promise you, His peace will come over you. It'll come over you. It'll wash over you. It'll strengthen you in the most messed up of times, to when you're going through something somebody else is freaking out over, and they look at you and they're like, how are you getting through that? Because of Jesus. I got the peace of Jesus. So I got my focus straight. I fixed my focus. I get my focus on Jesus and the peace of Jesus comes over me. And so now Nehemiah, he says, fight for your families, your wives, your sons, your daughters, and your homes. Who's he talking to? He's talking to them. And we're going to close this out in just a second. You know who he's talking to? He's talking to the men. So, ladies, just don't even listen to this. This has nothing to do with you. You know, they teach you in speaking that if you tell somebody to shut up in the or not listen in the audience, that gets them to what? Listen. So anyways, ladies, don't listen to this. Don't listen to this. But I am talking to the men for a second. He says, you need to fight, men, for your family. So if I'm walking down the street and somebody comes up and I'm by myself and they come up to me and they're like, give me your wallet. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to be like, dude, you're stupid, because my wallet, you want my wife's wallet, not mine. I'm married. You got it all mixed up, man. You're going to open my wallet. You're going to open my wallet and moths are going to come out like this. Okay, you want here? Go ahead. Thank you, actually. But if I'm walking down the street and I got Vicky with me and he says, give me your wallet and your wife, it's going to step up a notch. Things are going to get different really super quick. Because you're going to get in the middle of that. And what Nehemiah is saying, he's like, listen, there's an enemy coming against you. But he's not just coming against you, he's coming against your family. Because you cannot go, I'm talking to the men, you cannot go to your job and know your wife is messed up at home and it's not going to get to you. You can't go and do what you're going to do and wherever you're at and your kids are struggling and think you're going to go out and life is, and you're not going to be burdened with that. Because the devil knows if he can get to your family, he can get to you. So you know whose responsibility it is that there's a guard there? Yours and mine. As men, we need to guard our families. As men, we need to lead our families. As men, we need to protect them and encourage them in the Lord. And we gotta make sure, and how do we do that? It's like we're not battling flesh and blood, and we're not using weapons, like Paul said, that are carnal. We fast, we pray, we seek God's face, we intercede on their behalf, we pray over them. How much have you been praying over your wife? How much are you praying over your kids? How much time do you set aside that you start praying a hedge of protection around your house and around what's coming against it, your children? Because some of us have gone through a lot of destroying things in our relationships, and our families suffer because of it. And so Nehemiah is like, listen, what you need to do is you need to fight. Start fighting for your families. And so let's close it out with this in verse 16 and 18 when we're looking at getting through the mess of the middle. It says in verse 16, it says, so it was that from that time on that half of my servants worked at construction, while the other half held spears and shields and bows and wore armor. And the leaders were behind all the house of Judah, so those who built the wall and those who carried burdens loaded themselves so that with one hand they worked at construction and with the other hand they held a weapon. Now that's pretty committed. They're working with one hand, they got a tool in the other hand. And it says every one of the builders had his sword girded at his side as he built. And the one who sounded the trumpet was behind me. And then I said to the nobles and the rulers and the rest of the people, the work is great and extensive, and we are separated far from one another on the wall. And wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally us there, for our God will fight for us. And so we labored in the work, and half of the men held the spears by daybreak until the stars appeared. And at the same time, I also said to the people, let each man and his servants stay at night in Jerusalem, that they may be a guard by night and working party by day. So neither I or my brethren, my servants, nor the men or the guard who followed me took off our clothes, except that everyone took them off to wash in the washing. And so Nehemiah gets them together and he tells them, listen, we're only halfway through this. And I know the middle is messy. And there is the possibility of more continual attacks, so it's not necessarily going to get any easier. But I want to tell you guys something about going in the right direction. A lot of the time it looks like discouragement. And I want to tell you that because if you're here this morning and you're in that middle season and you don't know what you're going to do or how it's going to work out, sometimes when God is ordaining the foot of his chosen, going in the right direction sometimes looks like discouragement. And if you're not watching, if you're not praying, you're going to end up thinking that what you're doing is not going to work out, it's not right, God's shutting it down. And that's why I love what Nehemiah said. He said, when you hear the trumpet, because we're separated. Did you know the enemy wants to separate you from the person next to you, from the people around you, from the fellowship that you have, from the connection that you got with your church family? Nehemiah said, we're separated in this building. But when you hear the trumpet, we come together. And I want to tell you in Jesus' name that if you look around this room, and I know there's not a lot of people here today, there will be one day, I promise you that. But you can look around you right now, and everybody you see around here, if you sounded a trumpet in your life and you're like, man, I'm getting attacked, you know what's going to happen? You're going to be engulfed with some people that love you and are going to pray for you and there for you. And so I want to just close out with this. Listen, the middle's messy, but through Christ, listen, through Christ, there's a miracle after the middle. And so what we want to do is we want to turn our face to God and we want to continue to push and pray, be watchful and get our focus straight. And we'll see the miracle after the middle. So would you guys stand with me? I want to pray over you guys this morning. And we're going to close out with two worship songs. That's the way we're going to do it. We're going to close out with two worship songs this morning. But I do want to pray for you. I do want to pray for you. I do want to pray that you don't grow weary in doing good. and that this season is only temporary, whatever it is. But you got to get through the middle for the miracle. Father, I pray in Jesus' name for those of us that are building families. God, for those who are struggling in a season of in the middle where maybe we're confused and maybe we're lost, we don't have any direction. God, for others of us, we're hurt and we're burdened and we've been pouring out our efforts and pouring out our labors, God, and working our guts out, whether it's trying to make connections, reconnections in our families, or it's, God, it's our careers or whatever it is that you have that you've put in our life as our destiny that you want to walk with us through, God. For those of us that are in that middle season, and we're just like these laborers, we're like, we've been giving it everything that we got, God, and we're tired. And anything that we seem to do is going to get resisted, Father, that we remember through you, there's a miracle through the middle. So God, give us that strength to push. May we be mindful and open and watchful, protecting and fighting for our families through these difficult times, God, that we go through, that you would receive glory and honor in our lives. And Father, I just want to praise you right now on credit for all that you're going to do.